God, you are so worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a sweet, sweet presence. Excellent worship team. Oh, my word. Jesus, I just got to just take a minute. Just, God, I feel your presence so mightily tonight. Such a sweet, sweet savor, God. We adore you, Lord God. We lift you up because you are worthy. Our expectations are high for what you're going to do. God, lay the foundation in our lives that we can stand on to reach the miracle that you have. Hallelujah, Jesus. We adore you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Tonight, I'd like to speak on knowing your purpose. Bless you. Famous hitman Joseph O'Grady was caught in China recently, killing man in a rice field with two small porcelain figurines of Irish man. It's the first known case of a knick-knack paddywhack. You just cut that with a knife. That just couldn't. Oh man. Merry heart doth good like a medicine. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Knowing your purpose. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When you are there, say amen. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. You may be seated. Knowing your purpose. Solomon's purpose was, in a way, imparted to him from his dying father. The second scripture I'd like to read, by the way, Sister Jessica, doing awesome on everything. Second verse is Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Your purpose corresponds directly with your vision. Your vision allows you a bird's eye view of the purpose that you have and the direction that you need to go. You say, without vision, the people perish. Without purpose, you have no way to go. There are two kinds of purpose, primary and secondary purpose. Does everybody here have a purpose in life? If you don't have a purpose, you came to the right place. Because God's got a plan for your life. Your primary purpose. Let's see this. Solomon's primary purpose. To be Israel's king. Show thyself a man. To keep charge of the Lord thy God. To walk in his ways. To keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. That was his primary purpose. To be the king. To lead and to follow God. That was Solomon's primary purpose. But what was Solomon's secondary purpose? Solomon's secondary purpose was everything else. All of his other kingly duties, the armies, socioeconomic, political, all that stuff, providing the households and, you know, the city councils and all that stuff, that was all secondary to him. Still part of the main purpose, but it was a secondary purpose. Your primary purpose is active. It is something we should be pursuing every hour of every day, okay? That is our primary purpose. Your secondary purpose is mostly reactive. You deal with it as it comes. I can break this down into my life. My primary purpose is my wife, my family, and the youth. That is my calling. That is what God has given me, and it's what I have to do. My secondary purpose is all the things that go along with it, all the back besides planning and meetings and everything else. That's all secondary. Is it necessary? Yes. But I can never let that become my primary focus. How do you find your purpose? Let's go to Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Let's go to 7:8 too. Sorry, I didn't put that on there. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If you have a purpose, if you lack a purpose, you need to talk to God. If you don't know what your calling is, young person, if you don't know what your calling is, adults, you're not going to find it by asking everybody else. You're going to find it by on your knees in the Word of God and saying, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Now, we know that God has a plan and a purpose because in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. A lot of the times, as young people, we doubt. God, I don't know, you know, if you have a plan for my life. I don't know, you know, what I'm doing here. Everything is just, it's all this muddled mess that we can't seem to see the front from the back. You need to get in the Word of God and find out that God has a purpose for you. One of the most important things, and I've lived this in my own life, and I've seen this more times than I can count. Let's go to Proverbs 15:22. You don't find purpose by yourself. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. If you feel that God has a calling in your life, you need to go to your elders, go to your pastor, people that are wise and strongly spiritually based, not your best friend who is going to give you the answer that you want, and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling. And I know you're a strong man of God, and you're a strong man of God, and you're a strong man of God. What do you think? Am I being off base here? Because one of the enemy's greatest tools is to put you by yourself. Ever since the very beginning of the Bible, back in Genesis, what happened? You know, Eve's walking out in the garden. Satan comes up in the form of a serpent. Hey, now that you're not near Adam, let's have a talk. And then she goes out and she sins. And then convinces her husband to do likewise. The greatest thing that you can do that will destroy your purpose is go it alone. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. God's will is in his word in Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We know that name to be Jesus because the Bible says baptized in the name, not names. They are titles, the title of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, but the name is Jesus. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Church, not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody is a Bible study kind of person, okay? Not everybody is, that's their great form. We are called to be ministers, each and every person. But if God has a different calling for you, that doesn't mean that he's not called you, because the Bible says that you are called to go, therefore, and teach all nations. Everybody's called in some way to spread the gospel. Doesn't mean you have to be up here on the platform. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, be the, up there, or you got to be a dishwasher. God has a separate purpose and a plan for each and every person. And don't go comparing yourself to somebody else. I tell you what, man, that will destroy your purpose faster than anything else. It will just sink your battleship immediately. It will. If you, oh, I'm not like them and I'm not like that. No, God never called you to be like them. He called you to be you. Okay? In your apostolic identity, don't change because it's going to fit the situation. Be who you are and let God flow through you. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." You will find your purpose in obeying the word of God. Not by doing what everybody else wants you to do. If you're in ministry, if you're leading ministry, listen, there's 1,000 things for you to do every day, okay? There's a lot of chaff that gets thrown at you and you just get all lost in that. That's your secondary purpose. Your primary purpose is to obey what God is calling you to do. Young person, God is calling you to do something. Not to get busy and to work and do all sorts of nonsense. If you have a calling, you know where God is leading you, you need to pursue that. That is your purpose. Psalm 37:5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." You know, I love preaching from the Bible because it's just all 100% concrete foundation, biblical fact. You can't refute it. You can't walk and be like, "Well, you know, God's not calling me this." Well, the Bible doesn't say that, so I think you might have, you know, a little error going on there. Commit your ways. That's how you find purpose. You submit yourself to God. You allow God to flow through you, to lead you, to read the word. You talk to your counsel. You follow his will. But too often we make our secondary purpose our primary purpose. And then we struggle and complain when we don't get anywhere. Or worse, our secondary purpose destroys us. It's called getting burned out. And even as a youth, you can get spiritually burned out real quick. How about Samson? How many of you guys know the story of Samson? Big, strong, you know, Nazarite vow. He was a judge. Now, I always thought that a judge was kind of like the spiritual leader, you know, of the Bible. They were these great, like, spiritual warriors, you know. But after doing a lot of research on this, a judge is not really what I thought. A judge is somebody who served Israel as a leader in a military capacity in times of crisis. Would you say that Samson fulfilled his purpose in Israel for what he was called to do? Would you? Anybody? I like interacting here. Come on, people. Militarily, yeah. I would say that he did. He fulfilled his primary purpose as judge, but fell to his secondary role as peacekeeper, and he became Philistine cannon fodder. Let's go to Judges 16:1-5.
Then went Samson to Gaza and saw that there was a harlot, and he went in unto her, a prostitute. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come thither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And they were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we will kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city and two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sork, whose name was Delilah. First of all, if Samson is supposed to fight the Philistines, why is he in Gaza? Because he's with a prostitute. Samson was not where he was supposed to be. Samson then fights a fight with Gaza that he was never supposed to fight. Carries the gates away. Because of this, he ends up loving the Philistine woman Delilah. See, back then, you know, you'd form political alliances with people. You know, you'd marry into the families and, you know, these people. And it happened with Israel. You know what happened with the kings and stuff. And so maybe he thought that he could use that to make peace with the Philistines. Samson completely forgot his primary purpose. And because of that, his secondary purpose as a peacekeeper in Israel destroyed him. How often in our lives do we let secondary purposes destroy us? In ministry, listen, Pastor Roy, I am very amazed at you because you have so much on your shoulders. I'm being completely honest. If I had to bear the burden that he bore, I would get burned out because he has a lot of things that come against him in his primary purpose and his secondary purpose. He gets bogged down with a lot of things that, yes, they're important. Yes, they need to be done. But if that's all you ever focus on is your secondary purposes, is these things that just need to get done, you're going to completely choke out your primary purpose in your life. What about in school? It's really easy to let school, you know, consume you and try to get good grades and try to find a job and try to make money and all of these things, you know, and well, I'm going to be a Christian in this and I'm going to do, you know, my goodly do and try to win souls and things. But the problem is if that consumes your life more than the call of God and the primary purpose that he has given you, that will destroy your relationship with God. It'll wreck it. And Samson wasn't the only one in the Bible that got choked out by that. David. King David, a man after God's own heart, same family, Solomon's father, right? David sins with Bathsheba. What's interesting about that whole situation is David was a great king, you know, things were going good, 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 and all of a sudden, we're like in the middle of this, we go, wait a minute, how did David end up sleeping with a woman that was not his wife? Like, there's like no lead up to it. It's just like perfect, you know, good, 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 good. And then he just loses it. And we go, well, what happened? At the time, it was a tradition in Israel that the king would lead the armies. That was his role. Army would go to battle. He would stand in the forefront, and he would lead it. At the time, Israel was fighting. And David's like, no, I'm going to sit back at the palace. I have other things to do, council meetings, you know, things we need to get done. Got to sweep, you know, this cashmere rug that we got from Persia. And all this stuff. And I'm not bashing David. I'm sure David had probably a legitimate excuse as to why he was at home in Israel in the palace while the army was fighting. He probably had a very logical secondary purpose excuse. But then it goes to, yeah, I'm in the palace. There's a woman bathing naked on the roof. Wow, she looks really good. You know what? I'm going to sleep with her. And then to cover up my sin, I'm going to take her husband. I'm going to bring him home, and then try to get him to sleep with her so that it'll cover up, you know, everything, and no one will know. Well, then he doesn't. Well, since he won't do that, I'm going to send him to the forefront of battle, and I'm going to have him killed. Then the child that Bathsheba has, dies. But the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. Why? I understand, but for a long time it was like, wait a minute. Like, David did all this stuff, God, and like completely and totally sinned, was called up by the prophet, and why is he a man after your own heart? Well, just read Psalm 51. Let's go to Psalm 51 here. I always heard of Psalm 51, Psalm 51. There's a little part at the top here that says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, my sin. His heart bled. He knew it. It's God, I know I messed up. I had a primary purpose, and then I got distracted and secondary purposes, and I completely blew this. Please, please forgive me. Young people, if you have a calling, you are all called. If you have a calling and your secondary purpose has choked that out, it is not the end. It's not. Now, it all depends how you react. Judas betrayed God for however many pieces of silver, and instead of repenting, he just decided to kill himself. But then you get Peter, loudmouth, rambunctious guy that betrays God, and he goes out and says, God, forgive me, forgive me. And chapters later, he's preaching Acts 2:38. It all depends how you react. Just because you may lose your purpose at times in life does not mean that is the end of everything you have and God is never going to use you again and God is never going to forgive you. No, you have to sit down and go, God, own it. I messed up. I screwed up. I'm putting myself down and I will let you have your way in my life. Don't allow the enemy to use your secondary purpose to kill you. Beautiful about David's situation, Bathsheba had a second son, Solomon. Solomon was the promise of God. He was the blessing that came out of David's screwing up. How many of you guys know what happened to Solomon? At the end. Carrie, what happened? Yeah? No, hey, you're right. You're 100% correct. The Bible calls Solomon the wisest man in the entire earth. The Bible calls him the wisest man in the entire earth. Let me real quick go back to 1 Kings. Sorry. The days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. So this is David communicating to Solomon to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses. You may prosper in all you do and whatsoever you turn yourself. So that's Solomon. Sorry, David speaking to his son Solomon. I find it interesting that Solomon dealt with sexual sin the same way that David did. We don't like to discuss some things. One of them is generational curses. Everybody has problems, okay? I got problems. Everybody has an issue in their life. We can't escape that. Solomon was a great king and the son of David and the wisest man who ever lived. But
Solomon, despite the fact that Solomon knew his purpose, he was good at his secondary purpose, at some point he lost it. Why do you think that is? Why do we start out strong but we lose our purpose? What happens? It's not like the call changed, right? It's not like God is like, well, I'm no longer calling you to be a preacher, or I'm no longer calling you to be a missionary, or I'm no longer calling you to be, you know, the kids' depot manager, or I'm no longer, it's not like God, that you lose your calling, because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's what the Bible says. Clear as day. So if you don't lose your calling, then what happens? Many are called, few are chosen. At some point in Solomon's life, a switch flipped. And he just kind of went, and just lost it. And the word of God is eternal, you know, except for the foundation of the world. And so if you go to Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 18, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord God shall choose, one from among thy brethren, shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, the king, shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth no more return that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself gold and silver. This was 400 years plus before Solomon reigned. This was like way back. This was set word. They read it. They knew it. And at some point, Solomon forgot to consult the word of God. At some point, because it's very clear. Solomon was a notorious breacher of these commands. He had 40,000 stalls for his chariot horses in 1 Kings 4:26. Solomon had horses imported from Egypt, 1 Kings 10:28. He had 700 wives and princesses, 300 concubines, that his wives turned away his heart, 1 Kings 11:3. His wealth surpassed all the wealth of the kings of the earth, 1 Kings 10:23. Literally everything that the word said not to do, he broke. 400 years before. What happened? I look and study, I was like, I don't understand this at all. At some point, he began to rely more on himself than the call. That's the only thing that I can physically come up with. But that's what happens to us. The word was set. It's very clear. We know our purpose. And it's like, at some point in that reign, he missed it. But it was all given to him by God. God came to Solomon and said, what would you want? And he says, you know what? I just want the wisdom to serve you and do the best that I can. And God said, because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for money, you didn't ask for wealth or stature, I'm going to give you all of it. The blessings that God gives you can turn into something that will destroy you if you do not keep it in check with the word of God. The blessings that God gives you can pervert the purpose that he has given you. That's why the Bible says it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than the camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Material wealth can destroy what God has for you. It's not all bad. There are people in all the churches that they're business owners and they have good money and you know they're doctors and lawyers and people that are of good standing in the community, and you know they have a good purpose and they fulfill the purpose of God. Yes, you can do that, but it can be a very easy trap. I'm not saying don't get an education. If you feel called to be a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or an iron worker or a plumber or a
don't know, a programmer or whatever other jobs that I'm not all great at. Yes, if that's of God, go for it. You're called to prosper. You're called to be a good steward with what God's given you. But don't let that pervert the purpose that God has given. Although far from perfect, David kept the main thing the main thing. He knew how to worship. He knew how to go to God and say, God, I got a lot going on. Despite the fact that I got a lot going on, still you. Worship draws you closer to God. The Bible calls your worship a sweet savor. The Bible also says that he searches to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards him. God is zealous for people that are willing to pursue the call. The entire earth. Behold, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? There are so many distractions in our lives that pervert the calling and the purpose of God, right? If we're all being real, we all have had distractions and things come against us. Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There are weights and things that get in the way of our life that try to destroy our calling, our purpose. You might ask, how does that relate to understanding the times? I mean, I don't really think I need to preach on that, but we'll do just a small recap. If you don't understand the times, you cannot fulfill the purpose that God has for you. God's not going to call you to be a minister to a tribe of cannibals. Okay? It doesn't work like that. God's not going to put you in a position to destroy you. You have to be shaped from God through the Word. You have to allow the Word of God to go forth in your life, renewing your mind, renewing your heart, as the Word says. So, knowing your purpose and understanding the times, David understood his purpose. He knew the times that he was in. He lost track of the times when he sinned with Bathsheba. Samson, I would say Samson actually knew his primary purpose. Oh, yeah. But the times that he was in, he had no idea. He had no idea what was going on. It was all self-serving to him. It was all about me. My purpose, my calling, my feelings, what I want to do. Samson's first marriage was to a Philistine. And the Bible says that was of God to start the judgment. But nothing after that was. He lost track of the times. He lost track of his purpose. Let's stand. If you struggle with your purpose, because everybody struggles, if you struggle with your purpose, give it to God. Bible says, if you call, he'll answer. Now, it might not be in the way you want. And you don't have to be selfish about it and say, well, God, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No, just a proud spirit that the Lord will resist, but God gives grace to the humble. You got to come to God and be like, God, I need purpose. I feel lost. Everybody feels that way at some time. Whether you're young, whether you're old in a midlife crisis, we all struggle in some manner with our purpose. Maybe it seems too big. God, I see myself going a very large direction and I am not equipped for that in any way. It was never about you. It was about God. God will qualify you when he calls you. All you have to do is say, God, let me get so much word in me that when you speak, I hear. Don't let me get distracted by all the nonsense. My secondary purposes? Yes, they're legitimate. We all have legitimate secondary purposes. But keep the main thing the main thing. Don't let the enemy destroy you with such trivial things. There is nothing worse than looking back at your life and regretting a decision that you made that was self-serving. Well, if only I hadn't done this, or only I hadn't done that, or if I had saved this sort of money, or not given to She's for Christ, or whatever. Listen, it's God's money anyway. It is, and he wants to see the faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So just say, God, it's my bread on the water, and you're gonna multiply it. And if you don't, I'm still going to serve you. If your faith in God is based on something material, it shouldn't be a surprise that that's the first thing that the enemy is going to try and destroy. If your faith is based on your financial stature and the enemy comes against you, you go, well, God, since you can't provide for my money, I'm going to leave. That's not on God. That's on you. If your faith is in your health and all of a sudden you start to have health issues, listen, naked was I born and naked will I die. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. You just got to let go. Say, God, I'm living for you and I'm trusting in your purpose because I love you for no other reason. In the last day, people are going to fall away. The enemy is going to attack the church. It's going to happen. It's in the Word. Things are going to get difficult for us as Christians. And unfortunately, statistically, some people are going to leave. And I don't want that to be a down message. What I'm saying is, he who endures to the end, run with patience the race that is set before you. Predicate your faith in God on your love for him. Nothing else. Walk in his purpose that he has for you in the times that we are living in. We don't always understand everything. And I'm glad, because if God showed us everything that we all would have had to go through, half of us wouldn't even be living for God. But God, though he slay me, yeah, well, I trust him. That's it. Don't let the devil destroy you because of something that you're trusting in that's not from God. God's going to provide. God is the provider. God is the healer. God is the protector. Under the shadow of the Almighty will I dwell. And it's going to get hard for the youth. In case you haven't noticed, things are getting tight. The world is getting pretty violent towards Christians. You just gotta love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Like, listen, we're called to be like Christ, right? And though people get angry at you and blame you and call you Christian or whatever and push you around, like, okay, so I am. It's who I am. And you can't take that away from me. Now they can try. They can try and use everything in the books, making fun of you and talking bad about everything that you have and blah, 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 blah. Just walk away, man. They can't take God away from you. They can't. I mean, what are they going to force you to be like, no, like, I don't know. There's nothing that they can do to you that is going to take away your love for God. Build your relationship with God on something that's going to last. We talked to the youth a while back, but it was just a very simple thing. But what is your relationship with God based on? And I don't want to say this is a general rule, but people that struggle with their relationships with God, ask yourself one question. Why do you praise God? If you don't have a reason to praise God, you're going to struggle. Listen, God healed me. God has protected me. God delivered me. God worked in my family. God's provided for me. I have more to thank God for than I have ever had time or energy to thank God for. And I can't not count my blessings. God has given me a purpose. And yeah, things have gone a little crazy at times. But I look at that purpose and I go, God, you gave me a purpose. You blessed me. You kept me. You keep on keeping me. And I'm not going to stop until something gives. Until either I die or you disappear. And he ain't going to disappear. I might die, but I'm going to die serving God. So, if you're struggling with purpose in your life, if you have things going on, can you play? Come up to the front. Trust in a brother or a sister. Let them pray for you. Let them bear that burden with you. Because we're not doing this alone. There's a reason this is a church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as the day draws near. Let's protect each other, church. And walk in your purpose. In Jesus' name.